page 184. Please stand.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing the introit appointed for the day.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O Lord, we pray that your grace may always go before and follow after us, that we may continually be given to all good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
And this illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son?" And he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him from her arms and carried him up into the upper chamber where he lodged and laid him on his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child came again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is true." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together our gradual as how in the bulletin.
Nations will fear.
And Jesus gave them to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Amen. Dear Christians, in thinking about our gospel lesson for this morning, we have to start with one simple yet very uncomfortable truth. We are going to die. Let me say to this to each one of you as an individual, you are going to die. Death is chasing you. Like the dead young man in our gospel lesson text, one day your heart will stop. One day your body will bloat and grow warm. One day your body and soul will be ripped apart. A funeral home will receive your body. They'll place it in a container to be carried out to some piece of earth, stone cold dead. Your body will slowly decay, returning to the earth from which it was taken, even as your family mourns your loss, as did the widowed woman in our gospel lesson. That's the truth. You will perish. And believe it or not, I can already tell you what the cause of your death will be. Sin. Your sin. The sin you've done. The wrong that you've committed. Your failures in loving God like you're supposed to, with all your heart and soul and mind. Your failures at loving the people God places into your life, instead loving yourself. It will kill you in the end. Just as it killed the young man in our gospel text. Sure. Cancer, heart failure, accident, or old age might be on your death certificate, but sin is the thing behind it that will kill you. You are a dead man walking. I know you know this. But I also know that your sinful nature tries to hide that reality from you. I know that your sinful nature tries to get you to believe that while death will affect all the other people out there, it won't take you. You're special. You'll outsmart it. You've exercised regularly, so you'll be fine. You go to the doctor when you're sick. You have a whole cabinet full of magical pills, all designed to put off your death. And you believe that they will. High blood pressure? Well, there's a pill for that. Water retention? Low T? Memory loss? Parkinson's? There's a pill for that. It might slow down the inevitable. We might think we're safe, but we'll still die. What about medical facilities and doctors? We live in the most advanced time ever. Our medical technology is truly amazing, isn't it? Many of us sitting here in this room are alive today when, if we lived 100 years ago, we would not be. By all rights, I should be dead from appendicitis 12 years ago. But I'm not. Surgery kept me going. And many of you, too, have postponed death through surgery and treatment. Praise God that we're still alive. But death isn't canceled. It's still coming, chasing us down, following after us. I will still die, even though I've been saved from appendicitis. And you will die also. Even though we try to avoid that thought, we know it's true. It makes us a little uncomfortable. Whether we admit it or not, we all have a certain fear of death also, don't we? Yes, I know, we try to hide it. We try to tell people, I'm not worried, it'll be fine. But we are afraid, aren't we? That's why I don't like heights without railings. That's why I don't eat shellfish. I'm allergic. It might kill me. That's why I don't like flying in airplanes over the ocean. The water's deep. I might drown. Yes, that's my fear. Not that the plane will crash, but that I'll drown. You too have similar fears, don't you? You're nervous about death, inching inevitably closer by fire, famine, or disease. In fact, that fear governs many actions and thoughts in your life. That fear determines the way that you behave. We've seen that reality in our society very clearly the last year or so, haven't we? Here at church, 90% of our church business meetings have been all about how not to let people die. When you go to a store or a restaurant or any other public place in town, pasted to every door are signs with new rules that you must obey so that you'll die later rather than sooner. And people are angry at each other because they're afraid someone else might cause them to die. And die we will. All of us. Our lives seem to be ruled by death. Government officials have practically become tyrants in teaching us how to avoid death. They're even in an uproar right now. Did you see it in the news? About a Supreme Court nominee. Why? Should we allow babies to be killed in the womb or not? A whole big brouhaha in an election year all about life and death. And at the same time, our elderly, our shut-ins, our sick and our dying, our dying alone, unvisited, because the fear of death has prevented pastors and family members from getting inside and visiting. At the same time, we hear on the news all over the place how many are dying. 200,000 dead here in the United States, millions worldwide. Will we be next? Maybe. We keep trying to hide this truth from ourselves. We don't want to think about it. We've been doing that for years, though, haven't we? Think about when someone actually does die. We don't care for the dead like the generations that went before. We hire a professional to take our loved one's body, to embalm it for us, to cover over death with makeup, so that oftentimes the person looks better in the casket than they did alive in the hospital. We no longer dig the grave for our loved ones, thinking about the cruelness of death, shovelful of dirt by shovelful of dirt, for the hours that it takes to dig. Instead, we hire a stranger to dig the grave in 5 minutes with a tractor. We surround the dead with beautiful flowers to draw our gaze away and to cover the smell. And we lie to one another with lies that attempt to cover what's truly going on, with lies that take our focus off of Jesus. Your loved one's an angel now. Your loved one will live on in your heart. Think of all the good that they accomplished here on earth. We distract ourselves from death. We try to hide the reality from our eyes. But hear the simple, uncomfortable truth one more time. You will die. Your body will go to the grave. Your sin will kill you. It is this reality that brings about the scene in our gospel lesson for this morning. At the village of Nain, just a couple miles from Shunem, where our Old Testament lesson took place, there's a funeral. A widow who had previously buried her husband now must bury her only son. Sion has claimed another victim. The town has come out to weep with the woman and to help her carry the body out of town to its resting place, downwind from town. In the ancient world, that young man will be laid in the same tomb, just feet away from where his father's bones still lay. And the widow must walk down there and deal with all of the emotion, the hurt, the loss, and the sadness. She'll weep every day going forward when she remembers her loved ones that are no longer here. She'll feel that emotional pain in a physical way. She's afraid of what lies ahead. and she knows that she'll suffer without her loved ones. That's the same way death affects all of us. It cuts deep with pain. Pain that lasts a long time. Picture it in your head. This funeral procession walking out of town. And then in walks Jesus. As this woman carries her son out to death, God's son, who is alive, walks in. And he is filled with compassion. He understands death. He understands it completely. It hurts him as much as it hurts you. He'll weep when his friend Lazarus is dead. And it is his word, after all, that warned Adam and Eve in the beginning that if they did not listen to God, they would surely die. He gets it. He understands. And so when Jesus sees this woman, he's filled with compassion. He's moved to pity with love and concern about this woman, her pain, and her future life as she deals with death. And so he speaks to her. He preaches a sermon to her. Do not weep. When those words come from Jesus, they are not words of law. Shut up and stop crying, you big baby. Those are not words of lies. Your loved one will live on in your heart. These are words of Jesus, words of good news, of gospel, of truth. Do not weep, Jesus says. And carried in those words are this truth, that he is the resurrection and the life, that he's the one who will bring death to its end. He will solve what you are afraid of. He will take care of your pain through his own pain. He will return all to life. And having preached that sermon to the widowed woman, he touches the funeral bier and stops its procession. And he preaches a sermon to the dead man. Young man, I say to you, arise. They are words of resurrection, words of life, words of hope and comfort and certainty, words that carry blood and sacrifice, words that bring the very cross of Jesus to this situation, to this death, to this young man. They preach the only solution to death. They're the words of Good Friday, where Jesus took our sin upon himself, who took the deadly virus of sin into his body so that he might kill it once and for all on Golgotha, atoning for all of our sin, rescuing all of us from death, completing everything that was necessary for all people who trust in him to live forever. With Jesus' death on the cross, death is swallowed up forever in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? It's destroyed. Powerless. Jesus preaches the words that undo the grave. And as soon as Jesus preaches, the man returns to life. When the words of Jesus hit his dead ears, they're dead no longer. He sits up. He begins to confess who Jesus is and what has happened to him. And Jesus returns him to his mother. Now things are normal. Now they can go back to the way things were before. Now everything is perfect, right? Well, actually, one thing has changed. For one thing in that man and his mother's life is different. Do you think that that young man, who once was dead, but now has been raised by the word of Jesus, do you think he was afraid of death any longer? He'd seen it be beaten. He'd heard the word of God. He'd seen the Son of God with his own living eyes and heard his word with his living ears. He'd already been through death. And he'd seen Jesus defeated. That young man, many years later, perhaps, died again. But he died without fear. He knew he belonged to Jesus. Dear Christian, you've already been through death also. Did you know that? You've already died once. It's true. In the waters of holy baptism, you were baptized into the death of Jesus. You were buried with him, with Jesus, by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too might walk in newness of life, just like that young man, just like that widow. You have already been given eternal life. Your death, whenever it might be, however it might be, has already been taken care of by Jesus. Do you need to fear death any longer? Of course not. Even when you die, yet shall you live. You're free. You're free now in Jesus. Free to leave life and death to Jesus. Free to leave it in God's hands, right where it belongs. Free to let Jesus be the author and perfecter of your life. Yes, you will be died. Yes, you will be buried. Yes, your sin will kill you, it is certain. But so too is resurrection. Jesus has fixed your death by his death. Jesus will raise you as he has been raised. He will put your body back together perfectly when he returns to glory on the last day. He will stand at the foot of your grave and say to you, "Arise, live forever with me," and your ears will hear and obey. He'll say, "No longer do you need to weep. Every tear has been wiped from your eyes." And you will partake in the great wedding feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. At the word of Jesus, you're free to not be afraid of death. Even as the world keeps echoing it in our ears. What's the uncomfortable truth? Yes, you will die. But here's another truth that's just as true. Death does not win. Jesus does. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Our service continues as we stand and sing the offertory as it's found in our bulletin, page 192.
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, responding, "Lord, have mercy." For all those who have been raised to new life through baptism into Christ, that they would be strengthened by the Spirit, rooted and grounded in love, know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and be filled with all the fullness of God, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church throughout the world, and for an increase in faithful servants sent out into the harvest, that the proclamation of the gospel would resound in all places, sinners of all nations would hear and believe, and Christ's kingdom would be expanded, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors, that they would be diligent in their studies, regular in prayer, compassionate and loving in their duties, and humble in their care, always recognizing that they are in need of the gospel every bit as much as those they are called to serve. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have been placed in authority over us, that they would serve with integrity and honor, seeking after peace and the common good of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those in severe persecution and poverty, that they would put their trust in him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, and that, according to his will, they would find refuge in more hospitable places. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and suffering, for the hurting and the grieving, especially this day we lay before you the family of Troy Bailey, the family of Ruth Dyer, the family of Justin Steinhauser, mourning the loss of his mother, and all those who seek healing, Barb, Roger, Jared, Adeline, Marta, Lauren, Kelly, Lynn, Mildred, Brenda, Jim, Lynn, and those that we remember in our hearts. That God would incline his ear to hear our prayers, heal and restore them according to his will, and keep them in the faith that leads to eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who receive the sacrament this day, that they would recognize that God visits his people at the holy altar in the very body and blood of Christ. Receive forgiveness of their sins, have their faith strengthened, and depart in peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the saints who have gone before us and now rest from their labors, let us give thanks to the Lord, that we would be kept in the faith until we are raised with them on the last day to dwell in Christ's kingdom, which has no end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Service of the Sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right, so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of
in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
Right.
very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. Please stand.
Lord, now bless thou thy servant, depart in peace, according to thy word. For I myself seek thy salvation, which thou
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn, number 924. Lord, dismiss us with your blessing. 924.
Thank you.
What a great line that we just sang in that third verse. Let not fear of death appall us, glad your summons to obey. May God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. If you didn't get the Good Shepherd news and notes when you came in, make sure you get a set on your way out, all the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead. We got a lot of stuff going on right now. Things are picking up very, very well. We're easing our way back to normal, and it is an awesome, awesome thing. You're all invited for coffee and juice in the fellowship hall, family Bible study in the fellowship hall. We've got a couple of overflow rooms with TVs set up. And in case you didn't know, the Bible study on Sunday mornings is on YouTube as well as our worship services. Sunday school opening. The kids will be in here singing. As soon as we get out, they'll be down, right? Okay. Kids will be down here singing, and then they'll join their families as soon as they're done with the opening. It's a long, long thing, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. 2 years ago, we had a donor give us a large sum of money, $65,000, for scholarships for our school. Our school and preschool are closed, and so the finance committee, the church council has worked together a way to start dispersing some of those funds. Application information is there for some grant money. So if you're sending your kids to a Lutheran school, more than likely you'll be eligible. Christian school that's not Lutheran, maybe. Homeschool, probably. There's information in the news and notes and on our church website on how to apply. We have an October 18 deadline for that, for this year's money. College student Bible study starts tonight in Seward. Pastor?
That's correct. At the North Dakota, at the Nebraska district office, which is on the corner of the highway into town and Columbia Boulevard, we'll have it at 7 o'clock.
It's that ugly building that looks like it was designed in the late 1960s.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's one way to put it.
You know what everybody was smoking in the late 60s? There is a money tree out there in the hallway, an ongoing fundraiser for Lincoln Pregnancy Center. Lutherans for Life are working with that. Got any questions, ask Joy, but there's information in the news and notes. Our mission this month, and this is the last Sunday, is for the people in Venezuela. And if you'd like to contribute to that, there's some blank envelopes out there. Just mark mission or Venezuela on there, and we'll make sure that it gets to the right spot. Vicar, I never let you talk at the end of the church service.
No, you don't.
Yes, you're correct. Make it quick.
All right. Make it quick. All right. We recently found out that my wife, Amy, is pregnant. The due date is sometime in mid-April. We would appreciate your prayers. Thank you.
All right. Good job, Vicar. Okay. Anything else? All right. Please join us for Bible study, coffee and goodies. Have a great day and week. Fearless in our Lord Jesus Christ.